All right, guys, welcome back. Peddler, you got things covered for the next few segments here.
I do, as I'm choking on my beverage. Hold on.
Yeah. Beverage of choice. What's your beverage of choice right now?
This is strawberry banana juice.
Delicious.
It is lovely.
Yeah, you guys are not hip to it, man. That sounds really good, Peddler.
It's refreshing. It is refreshing.
I've got part some sorts of banana.
Some, I'm going to have Coca-Cola.
Strawberry cucumber La Croix.
Oh man, La Croix.
Before we continue, Onique, I figured out what the mystery Mountain Dew is, by the way.
I'm actually drinking a Mountain Dew Code Red right now, so I can't say shit either. What flavor is it?
It is cotton candy and Mountain Dew.
Ew. Okay, now that you say that, I probably won't drink that anymore.
Do you fucking want diabetes that goddamn badly?
So here's the thing.
I've already had two kidney stones, and I'm going for number three.
Here's the thing. I like Mountain Dew. I don't drink it, right? I like Mountain Dew as a product, and I like the cotton candy Faygo soda, okay? Mix them together. It is not good. It is not good. Onique seems to like it. I don't know. It's not good, dude, at all. It tastes like black licorice.
Hey, black licorice can be okay.
Black licorice is amazing.
I love black licorice, but I don't want to drink a soda black licorice flavored, you know?
The Mountain Dew has this new drink called like Refresh or like Wake Up. And I don't know what it exactly is called. It's like they had Kickstart a few years ago that was like drink Mountain Dew in the morning. And then this one's like this equals two cups of coffee, whatever it's called. And it's only 15 calories a can. And let me tell you, it's bombastic.
Nathaniel, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be here all day until 3.
I saw a billboard somewhere that literally had LeBron James holding a can of Mountain Dew, but I didn't know what it was advertising than Mountain Dew. It might be that new product.
I think what Nathaniel was trying to talk about was the energy drink Coca-Cola they came out with a couple months back that's not doing so hot.
No. This one is Mountain Dew flavor.
Oh.
The Coca-Cola energy drink, I always had like it was like Energize, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah. Vitalize,
I think.
I got one. Yeah. And because I love drinking out of cans.
Sure.
I love cans. And that's why I haven't tried a lot of the new Mountain Dews because they're in bottles and I just don't like drinking out of plastic bottles. It just doesn't feel the same. It
doesn't taste the same.
Yeah, it doesn't taste the same at all. It doesn't get that coldness, you know.
It doesn't give you the dew.
Yeah, I want the dew. Are we sponsored by Mountain Dew?
That'd be cool.
God, I hope John, not. You gotta get sponsored by the dude. Yeah,
come on. Let's do the dude.
Ugh. All right. So moving on to top decks. This time we're gonna start off with standard. We have Mono Green, Is It Dragons, and Is It Epiphany in the top three, with Rogue and Unclassified dropping down position to number four. So we are actually starting to see a meta start to form.
Oh, the meta's there.
In standard. It is there. It's right. Just there's still just a lot of jank floating around. So Rogue and Unclassified is hanging on there tight. But you know.
Yeah.
For modern, we have Is It Spells, Green White Company, and Rogue and Unclassified. Into the Legacy, we have Blue Red Delver, Death and Taxes, and Elves, five color elves. Moving on to Vintage, we have Mud Stacks, and then we have Bug, which is blue, black, green, and Underworld Breach.
That was Vintage?
That was Vintage.
Yeah, Vintage, they don't call it Sultai. They go by old school Bug, Rug.
Right,
bug.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Bug Control. I remember those days, yep.
Moving on to Pauper, we have Burn, Mono Black Control, Black Blue Fairies. And I don't go by the and stuff like that. I go black blue when I see colors. I don't care.
The guilds and clans.
The guilds. That's the word I was looking for. I don't go for that.
You're not going by the like schools from Strixhaven. You're not a Prismari gang.
I blaze my own trail.
You dropped out of school.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I actually did. I did drop out of school. That's thanks why. For noticing.
There you got go. It.
Moving on to Commander, we have Lathril, Omnath, and Atraxa top three, which I believe is no change from last week, if I remember properly. And moving on to last but not least, Pioneer. We have Boros deck wins Spirits and Mono Black. That is the top decks, or the top decks of the week. But there, I noticed that there is one format on here that is not brought up, and that is the Curiosity format. Does anyone know about the Curiosity format in this chat currently?
No, I don't know what it is about. Can someone tell me?
I do. I know about it, but I'm going to let these two guys tell us about it.
I literally know nothing about it. So
they're the creators. These guys right here. Yeah.
Talk to me like I'm a four-year-old.
Yep.
Are we supposed to talk to you differently than we have been talking?
You dropped the
No, no, no. Basically, keep the same pace. Keep the same pace, yeah.
Well, so, yeah. Curiosity is the most affordable, the most accessible format in Magic. We play it on Arena, and the rules are very simple. I'll just go over those briefly because that kind of gives you the idea of what the format looks like. Again, we take the most recent set of standard cards, and you make a 40-card minimum deck. Within those 40 cards, there are rarity restrictions. You must have two singleton, rare, or mythics, and you must have six uncommons with a maximum of two copies of any one uncommon. The rest of your deck is filled out with commons, up to four copies of any one common, and then unlimited basic lands. We also have an 8-card sideboard without rarity restrictions, but in games 2 and 3 of your match, your deck must meet the rarity restrictions. And if your listeners want to get a visual of what those rules are, they can go to curiositymtg.com, which is our award-nominated website.
Yeah, and a great thing about Curiosity is both Zach, Nathaniel, me, and Alex, our third partner in crime, we stream on Twitch a lot. I'm twitch.tv/the_ita. Zach is twitch.tv/swordsandstatutes, and Alex is twitch.com/themanasultan. It's a very chill format. We get together every weekend and we play, and Zach and I cast it, but then during the week we have just like open like gameplay, either if you're watching Zach or my stream, like, and you're wanting to play a game, there's a good chance that we'll play. And then Zach and I, every Tuesday, we just brew random decks in
Brews Days.
Brews Days.
If you guys don't mind me, if you don't mind, I have a few questions to ask you guys.
Oh, ask all the ask questions. Away. We want the most time on this podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. So the more questions you have, the more we get to talk. Yeah.
I really wish I had more time to go to the fan base for this podcast and ask them if they had any questions for you guys. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. So to make up for it, I did grab more questions, and hopefully the guys here, something might stir up to where they might have an alternative question as well.
I got a question, don't worry.
Sure. Okay. Where did you guys get the idea to start the format?
Well, so Nathaniel, you can correct me here, but back in around June of 2020, Nathaniel and I had both been streaming for a little bit and wanted to do something like where we could kind of do like weekly events. And I think Nathaniel pitched the idea of doing, I think you originally called it like Jank Wars or something like that, but the idea there was doing like perfected draft decks and kind of like pitting those against each other. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of shelved that idea, and then I found something on Reddit that was more or less that. We reached out to the people who were doing that. We talked about wanting to do some of that using only M21 cards, and we're told that we were not doing what they were doing. So instead, we just said, all right, well, screw it. We'll start our own format.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead, and that way we get to kind of come up with the rules of how we like to play. You know, a lot of it is actually based around our community Discord. So, you know, like we have, you know, folks who are, you know, who go into like looking for game chat and they play games, and then people playing have the option to just like talk to their opponent when they're in games, like matched up.
So you do have a Discord right now currently for this format.
Right. And that can be found on the website, curiositymtg.com.
And so there you go.
Yeah, that is an award nominated website.
That's right. Yes. You know, yes.
Just
yes,
can't
yes.
forget about that.
That's right. That's right.
Is Discord also award nominated?
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. There's always room for next year as far as the Discord. I have another question, maybe two or three.
Go ahead.
When you look at Magic the Gathering, which of course this is a Magic the Gathering podcast, you look at Magic the Gathering, and the game was created because when Richard Garfield went back to the guy that, you know, was like, you know, backing him up, he said, look, man, I like the idea of this game you're talking about, but can you build something else that, you know, and Richard's like, yeah, we'll build this card game, this portable. I think the other guy was talking to Richard about, and they created Magic the Gathering, right? They wanted to call it Mana Clash originally. And then it was played for the downtime and other organized events, right? Now, another format within the game, Magic the Gathering, was created just the same way, which is Commander. We originally called it EDH, right? It was just played casual game being played in between rounds of competitive games. So where I'm going with this, where do you see the Curiosity format in 10, 20 years?
Non-existent.
Yeah, I might be dead in 10, 20 years.
I think when it comes down to it, it's a format that is supposed to be chill, right? And I mean, not necessarily chill, but it's very constraining. And in 20 years, Zach and I won't be streaming. I don't think that. I just don't think it will be. You know, 40 card formats that aren't draft are non-existent.
And you guys have so much to your disposal. What those guys didn't, EDH, when it started, was really just word of mouth. When I heard about EDH, I know it started in 1996. I heard about it in 2008, I think it was. So, and when I talked to Sheldon Menry, which is people consider to be the father of EDH, you know, he told me on this podcast that, well, that's about right, because that's about its heyday when it really got really popular. So going to the Curiosity format, you guys say it's a casual format, correct?
Yeah, it's meant to be something where it's something where you play on Arena. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to make people break their budget having to craft a ton of rares or anything. Mm-hmm. So, and also the fact that it is limited to only one set lends itself to a more casual thing, or a more casual atmosphere as well.
Okay.
However, there are people who take it very seriously. There are a couple folks who played, who have been playing for a couple seasons now, that perfect decks and sort of iterate on them every week.
Like actual kind of like teams where they'll all bring the same deck.
Which we're kind of hinting around where I'm getting to my question is, what do you guys think of if this becomes a C format? Like CEDH, what if there's a C?
It already is a C format. It's a curiosity. So
yeah,
I understand that. I'm saying, what happens if it becomes competitive curiosity that people out there love it so much? Now it's getting bigger than what you anticipated, right?
I mean, that's it. To me, like, that's kind of a built in. So one thing that's really cool about curiosity is we do seasons, right? So today we, you know, just a few hours ago, we wrapped up our first season of Midnight Hunt. I wrapped up our first week. So basically, how you get at the end of the season, we have a top eight, and they are, and we have a tournament. So each week, the more games you win, the more points you get. So you go to the top eight. I think that if it gets more competitive, and we have more people assisting, then like with the organization structure, I guess, like the behind the scenes, then we've talked about in the past doing like, you get seated in a league, based on how well you've done. So if you're doing awesome every week, then, you know, maybe you'll be in like the varsity league. And then if you haven't played or you're not playing often, then you'll be in the junior varsity.
And something else here to sort of jump off of Nathaniel's points. Yes, that there are people who take it very competitively, but we have built in some structures within it to keep things fresh and also allow folks to join casually and still have a chance. So we have a suspension banning structure where...
I was going to ask that too, if you ever ban or restrict certain cards.
Yeah, well, yeah. Adventures in the Forgotten Realms really tested us with that. And so now we've changed our banning rules to where the rares and mythics of the winning deck are suspended for the following week. And once they are unsuspended, if those rares or mythics win in a subsequent week, they are then banned for the rest of the season. And the goal there is, again, we're not trying to kill entire archetypes or anything like that. It's just to keep things fresh and keep people on their toes. And additionally, we've done this two seasons now where we, whoever has the top seven season point earners, they are automatically in the finals. But that eighth seed, we allow for anyone who has played in a season to compete in something that we call the Big Oozer and compete for that eighth spot. So if someone joined in week eight of a season, they're not going to have enough points to qualify for seeds one through seven, but they're able to play in that tournament to get to that eighth seed.
It's kind of like a wild card sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like football or whatnot.
Okay, great. Because I was actually going to ask one of the questions I had written down was about a ban list. Now, I'm really glad you added that in there. I have one more question before I'll hand it over to the boys.
I would like to just go off of that ban list thing. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, hypothetically, so we do start our season normally. Now, it's going to be a little bit different for Midnight Hunt, Vow, and Double Creature Feature, or whatever it is. So the season, this season's going to be a little bit weird. But so we start... two weeks off, so we get to take 2 weeks off, which is great for us since it is on a Saturday. But the thing is if you play like Magic, even like super casually, like Arena, like maybe you play like 3 hours a week, if your card gets banned, you're probably gonna have a lot of at least one of every rare, or in you know. So it's not like four of your wild cards are gone. You know, at max, I think we've had two rares in a season get banned. So
which cards?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Again, on curiositymtg.com/the rulebook,
which is an award nominating website.
Award nominated page. We mentioned the cards that are banned. So like for instance, in Kaldheim, got banned. For Ikoria, we banned Zenith Flare. And for AFR, again, that's what sort of pushed us to make our suspensions a bit more proactive. We ended up banning three cards. Those were Inferno of the Starmounts, Ebon Death, Dracolich, and actually Shambling Ghast. which is the only common that we've banned.
Interesting.
I have one more question for you guys. They, Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, so basically Wizards of the Coast, has come out with products like Commander Legends. Commander Legends is, you know, of course, it's going to be geared towards a format Commander. Also, though, this product is draftable, okay? What would you say if they actually came out with something for the Curiosity format in real life? And would you
do?
Would you also,
every new standard set?
Would you? Would you also? Would you also have any thoughts and opinions on if it would be draftable?
I mean, I think we're due for a better drafting system anyway, or a different. Like that's always been my beef with draft is you have a limited pool, right? So, you know, if you're drafting, let's say 8 or 16 people, you have a bunch of bad cards, right? And everyone in general has more cards that are not more cards, but they have 10 cards, 15 cards that are just not so great, that they're not going to play for their deck. Like they could be good cards. They could have rare drafted. I think like with Curiosity, how I get a lot of my ideas is from drafting, right? So I draft on Arena, and then I delete cards or add cards to make the best deck possible, like the best draft deck. So I definitely feel like in a trading card game, the fact that there is no trading during a draft is bad. I think that people are going to try that. I draft
in real life. In real life, I draft, and I think there's trading involved. I'm actually.
Isn't that illegal?
No, trading's not illegal. When you sit down and you have to sacrifice the rest of the cards because you're going to pick one out, you know, to build your deck with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trading.
You can't trade to someone else.
You could trade at local game store. Yeah.
Trade God to damn. Somebody, and then they play. You play the card that they gave you.
Oh, we would trade in a draft.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are on the same page though, but we are on the same page. What I'm saying is I have to take a card out, right?
Yeah.
I have to sacrifice the rest of that pack. So in essence, I am making a trade. By the time that pack gets to me, it's going to have fewer cards, right? Maybe even one card if there's a lot of people playing. But yeah. I am trading these 14 cards for this one, or these 8 cards for this one.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about is we have all drafted,
right?
Or are done whatever to get our cards,
right?
And then I have cards that I have in my possession. Packs are all opened. Drafting has ended, and I say I don't need this blue card. Does anyone have a red card that would be that I can put in my deck? And you can take my blue card. So we can make, both of us can make more powerful decks.
You can do that after the game's over with, if you're drafting on a game for prize support or something.
Yeah. No, but I feel like in for that tournament, I think that, I don't know, I think that that's kind of like a different format that definitely is something that it hasn't been supported by Magic, like Wizards. That is a completely different style of gameplay.
Now, side note, I was not going to ask that last question, by the way. That was my last question. I hope they were good questions for you guys.
They're great.
Onik, you got questions for him? We lost Peddler.
This whole thing sounds actually really interesting to me, mostly because he actually do run tournaments. You can say like an aspiring tournament organizer. I've run a few tournaments. The most recent one was the I did a Brawl tournament, historic Brawl, with like, and I had 67 people in it. For your
congratulations, that's legit.
Yeah. Thank you. For your leagues or what would you call them, leagues? You call them seasons, right?
It's called seasons.
How many people do you have currently for the Innistrad?
Today we had 18 people play.
Okay.
And something too. We've been doing this for over a year now, and we're pretty quick on our tournaments. I think today it was just over 2 hours, and we only do three rounds. So it's something where if you have a Saturday, it's not like you're going to an F&M and having to be there for 5 hours and having to text your wife, be like, oh, darn it, I'm still here and I'm winning.
Yeah. Is it Swiss?
Yes, Swiss best of three.
Okay.
And all of our tournaments are free.
And like that's a part that I guess when I go to F&M, they start, actually my store starts playing standard again next week, so I have to make a deck. But you know, if you bring trash, yeah, you'll probably lose your first game. but your next two games, you'll have, you know, it's Swiss, so you'll play players that are on your level. And so you don't like bring a bad deck and then constantly lose three games in a row, unless you're the ooze, and then, you know, you just are the ooze for the season.
Can you change your deck entirely after for the next week?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, with the bannings, the person who wins the week, our crowned cave dweller, they obviously can't play because they're the same deck, because their two rares are banned. But in this format, since you can only have two rares, we just had this week, the deck that won, it's going to be hurt by the rares that are banned, but those can be switched out. The core of curiosity really lies in your ability to synergize your commons with your uncommons.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to sort of piggyback off of that, sometimes I'll post about the format on Reddit, and often people will say, oh, well, this just seems like it's all determined by the rares. And that is absolutely not the case. It is a very, if you can't get your commons and uncommons in order, then you're just going to lose. It doesn't matter what your rares look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which two rares got the banning this time?
It was
Stowaway Seagrass or whatever. Stowaway something.
Suspicious Stowaway?
Suspicious Stowaway. And Patrician Geist.
Yeah, there was a mono blue spirit deck.
Yeah.
So next week, those two cards cannot be played by anyone?
By anyone.
Okay.
But then in week three, they're back in the pool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if week three, if those two same cards or one of the two cards are at the top again, are they permabanned at that point?
Permabanned.
Yes.
Okay. This sounds actually a lot of fun. This sounds like this sounds like what you really hope to happen as you do a traditional or a regular draft. Like, I want to get this synergy. Mm-hmm. And it does, and you fall short of it, you're like, ah, damn it, I wish I had this extra card. Well, with the curiosity format, you can.
That's a great way to look at it, where and even like this week, people tried something and they realized, oh, well, this uncommon doesn't really work. Well, next week they know what to switch out and keep iterating to make it the best that it can be.
Yeah, or you find an opponent who uses an uncommon or a card that's like, oh wow, I never thought of it using it that way. Mm-hmm. Let me try it next week.
And especially with the bannings, like I'll let you know that by week, I forget when we banned Shambling Gas last season. It might have been week 8.
It was week 6.
Week 6. So week 6, we banned Shambling Gas, and everyone was excited, because now the format is completely fresh again. And that's kind of like what we like about like this format, is with the bannings, with looking at the cards, and since you're not losing $1,000 because you're switching out dual lands, you know, like if a dual, you know, like whatever card gets banned, you're not losing anything but a wild card. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like encouraged to brew, and if you're not good at brewing, you're encouraged to play test with people, and it kind of creates its own community in mm-hmm. because of that.
When do your tournaments typically start? Like what day of the week?
Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
I want to quickly put out this piece of information before we go over to Beginner's Corner, which is the last segment. Brian David Marshall was in the news. Am I the only one here that knows about Brian David Marshall?
The name's familiar to me. That's about
I know the name. I know he's isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not. He's not in the Hall of Fame. But he is important for Magic the Gathering. So he's responsible for what we know as organized play. So when you do a quick Google search, just, you know, Brian David Marshall, I'm going to get closer to the mic here.
You go to jail? Is that what we're going to say?
No. So
is this juicy data?
Brian David Marshall has worked in all areas of the American comic book medium for more than 20 years, from retail, editorial, writing, and creating a new title for Marvel Comics. Brian was a founded partner of Malibu Comics, a comic book publisher in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Numerous properties that passed through Malibu's doors have been made their way to big screens, like most notably the Men in Black franchise and featuring Will Smith. But that's just a little snippet that's on a Wikipedia for Brian David Marshall. But me knowing who he is, you go back to some old footage, he'll be an announcer. He'll do the deck tech videos with some of the pro players at the Worlds tournaments or whatever. But again, I just know that he put together what we know as organized play. So we've talked about him a couple times on the podcast, and he's agreed to come on the podcast. We just haven't set up a good date for that to happen yet.
Nice. The second best guest on the podcast.
That's right. I bet Zach, he doesn't have an award nominated website.
Yeah.
Which is a good segue over to Beginner's Corner. We lost Peddler. One second.
I guess Zach and I are now officially part of the podcast. Boom. Thank you so much, guys.
We're so pleased.
A great opportunity. We're very excited, and we won't let you down.
Onique, we still got you, right?
Oh, no.
So this is the new... Okay, so for a new crew. Segment, I've got Leroy's musing. So Leroy is my cat. He...
One thing that we failed to mention is that... So Team Cat runs Curiosity, and one of the things that we really wanted to do with our team was be able to give back to animal shelters, because we all love our animals. And at the end of each Curiosity season, during the coverage streams, we accept donations for the winner's local animal shelter. So whoever wins the season, they get to designate a local animal shelter that whatever money that we earn that day goes to. So far, I think we've earned almost $500 this year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Been able to donate that to shelters in Canada and Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Peddler, he's got like, I don't know how many cats, 7 cats or something like that.
Wow.
I've got 4 dogs, so that hits my heart. I won't let you know that hits my heart. I do know the Cryptic Commander, we're going to soon do an event with other content creators for a cancer relief benefit program.
Nice.
So stay tuned for more information on that. Onique, I know you're in the room here. Hopefully you can get the gear back on to talk with us. But we're going to go ahead and go over to Beginner's Corner. And this week, choosing your first format. What kind of advice can we give to beginners for choosing your first format?
Don't choose Commander, because there's too much to learn. Go play either Standard or Draft. Probably Standard, because there's a limited card pool.
What do you think, Nathaniel?
I mean, if you're just starting, regardless, Arena, because you are only going to lose your time unless you want to spend a lot of money. You'll get a little bit of learning, but I think like going to stores and playing in an FNM is very important. I think if you find your, if you find a store that fits you, like I'm very lucky. There's probably like 20 stores within 30 minutes of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I first started playing Magic, it was during Exelon, and someone came up to me and was like, "Hey, this deck would be really good if it had Vraska's Contempt." And I was like, "Cool, cool, yeah, I'll get one." And they're like, "Yeah, it's $15." I'm like, "Sweet, $15 for four cards."
What do you think?
They're like, "No, that's 60.
What do you think, Onik? What do you think about this question?
Yeah, so my opinion, sorry, my fiance was here. And real side note, I'm not going to be here next week because I'm getting married.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. The best format to start off with is either, I have two things, either the one with the smallest card pool, so you're not overwhelmed with too many options. So either limited, such as draft or curiosity, or standard. Or the other option is, the friends that you talk to that play Magic, talk to them, because any help that you get from them will guide you into the format a lot easier. They can help you out with pretty much any questions that come up.
I forgot about Jumpstart. I actually have eight packs of Jumpstart that I play with my brother. He doesn't play Magic.
Yeah.
He knows Magic because of Jumpstart, and we just whenever he comes to town, we play some Jumpstart.
I think Jumpstart is going to be like the new introductory. Set. Jumpstart is great. It's not, I don't particularly like Jumpstart to play with it, but I think it's a fantastic product.
On my final note on the subject, I want to say that if you go to your local game store, if you have a local game store, they usually have these free decks, F-R-E-E, that they give out to starting players. I ask about those and sometimes give them to people that just start out. Also, the pre-made commander decks, if you hear about that format, which on this show you will, those are, in my opinion, a good deal to go with also. It's going to depend on your play group. And guys, I really want to thank you again for coming on today's show. We're running out of time.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us. Oh, absolutely. We wish you luck with your award-nominated podcast.
Well, we wish you guys luck with your award-winning website, you know.
And format.
Yeah, this format.
Yeah.
This format is definitely made me curious, and I couldn't wait to get you guys on this show, for real.
Well, hey, we just need y'all to come play.
Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern.
Saturday
at 4 o'clock.
I'm going to write it down. Hopefully, I don't lose it within all this paperwork here. As far as listeners, let me go ahead and let them go real quick. Everybody, thank you for staying till the end of today's show. Keep a lookout for our 100th episode coming out real soon. I just got word from one of our partners, Cosmic Gaming. They're going to give us $100 worth of product to give away for the 100th episode. So
nice.
It means a lot to us. Also, our other partners and sponsors are putting together other big boxes to give away. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube. Until next time, keep spell slinging.